today. Let me tell you, never seen anybody looking more gorgeous. You're done up all nice. You're not even wearing makeup. Holy crap. Absolute angel. How's it going? Got a special treat for you. Welcome right on back to We Like Bad Music Only, and this is the show and tell edition, where one of us brings an album to the table and we make the others listen to it. And the theme for this one is an album that may surprise others that you're really into. So, of course, it's not just me here. That would be a very weird show if I was just, you know, to host a listening party and a book club show just by myself, sitting here amusing myself. All right, Polly, what do you think of this Slipknot album? Well, Polly, I think it's really good. Of course, we're only talking about, like, you know, self-titled Iowa and We Are Not Your Kind. But anyway, I mean, that's not true. That's not true. I like Volume 3 and a little bit of All Hope Is Gone as well. Yeah. Anyway, but I'm, of course, joined, as always, by our good pal, Taylor! Shit. Nope. I quit.
Take two.
Okay. Hold on.
We are the podcast that loves you. We are the only ones that love you.
We love you so much. We always say the right name. Okay, hold on. I'm going to recut that last bit. So, of course, we are joined, as always, by my good pal, Gordon!
Hello.
Can you believe I got that first try?
Yeah, we're coming up in the world.
Yeah, I'm doing real good. Gordon, you're going through it, as I understand.
Yeah, I'm kind of at the tail end of round two with COVID-19. It's so much fun.
Oh, you just sound so over the moon to be dealing with it. I just never heard anybody just so incredibly happy to be in the position that you're in. Did you have any of, like, the, like, I feel like with COVID, obviously, like, the not being able to breathe part sucks, but I think the part that would drive me the most insane is, like, if you lost the sense of taste and smell. Did you end up with that, or is it just the, like, oh, like, this, I've just got really bad flu symptoms because you're vaccinated like a smart person?
No, it wasn't even that bad.
Oh, good.
Like,
good.
Compared to the, like, I got that fucking Omicron shit in January 2022.
Ugh.
Literally the day I was supposed to get my first booster, it was symptoms time.
Oh,
and that was pretty miserable.
Oh god.
This, you know, a couple of vaccine doses into it now, and it was better this time around. It was more like a bad cold this time.
That's good.
I was running a fever in a few days, though.
I remember John got it when we had no vaccines at the time. Baz was back in 2020.
Yeah,
that sounded ugly. I remember him regaling us by telling us that he would, like, just grab a salt shaker and pour it on his tongue and taste nothing. And it was just like, oh,
wow.
My God, that sounds so miserable!
Yeah, I couldn't. The first time I got it, I couldn't taste anything. I still can't smell very well anymore.
That's long COVID, unfortunately. There's some of those things stick around, and that's the one thing that would drive me insane if it stuck around. It's like, if you can't taste food anymore, cool, I'm going to go load up the 9mm now.
Yeah. But, you know, it's been the worst. It wouldn't have been so bad except that I had to keep working.
Oh, that sucks so bad. Well, don't worry. I've got the cure for what ails you, because I'm going to give you some good music to listen to. Bet you just you can't wait. There you go. That's the appropriate level of enthusiasm. And, of course, I'm also joined by everyone's favorite dad. It's Psychic Heist.
Hello.
Hey, you don't have COVID.
I do not.
That's awesome.
I do not have COVID.
That's awesome.
I try to say as COVID free as possible.
Yeah. I have thankfully not had it at all. I don't know how I've managed, but
that's pretty good.
It's very much.
I have had it.
Knock on wood over here.
Yeah, I was actually coming down with it when we did our end of the year podcast with on I guess that would have been 2002.
Oh wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, not
2020.
2022.
We've been at it for a while. It's been a long time.
We are so seasoned at this. We are pros, just wise.
God, what
wise
would my
music critics?
What would my 2002 album of the year have been? Ooh. I don't know. God,
that would have been Garden before she started listening to Nirvana and playing guitar. So I wouldn't have had albums of the year any at that point because I wouldn't have cared about music that much.
Right. God, I'm not even going to try to ponder that because I know
I'm trying to think. I think that was that around when, because I start. That's when I was starting to get into music.
Mm-hmm. That was Isis Oceanic.
Such a good one. If I had listened to that at that in that year, yeah, that would have been there.
Right.
I have this memory of Nas is. Stillmatic. I was really into that
album.
Wow,
Stillmatic's pretty good. Yeah.
I know it's not considered his best.
It's got hits. It's got bangers on it.
Yeah,
though.
But for me, it was like my introduction to Nas, and it was all about like one mic at the time.
Yeah, for sure.
So what was that? 2002? I want to say it was, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Oh, 6 Degrees of Inner Turbulance. For some reason, I thought that was 2003.
That would have probably been mine then. Yeah, that's Dream Theater. That's a hell of an album.
Yep. Best Dream Theater.
That's the good stuff right there.
Need to listen to more.
Stillmatic was December 18th, 2001, by the way. Okay. So close enough.
That's close enough. That would absolutely be the cutoff. That would absolutely be after the cutoff for the year 2001.
Exactly. For my rules, that would have made it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 6 Degrees of Inner Turbulence would have been a real easy pick there. Yeah. But yeah.
To continue my Dream Theater journey.
I mean, I've fallen off of Dream Theater in recent years, but I think that's largely due to the fact that I think that like everything after Mike Portnoy left, except that first record after they left, is just not very interesting because John Petrucci is a very boring songwriter.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know if I'm optimistic about the Mike Portnoy reunion album.
I'm gonna give it go. I'm excited for it. I'm more interested than I was, you know, more of, you know, John Petrucci leading for the proceedings.
Yeah. I mean, I liked the third Liquid Tension Experiment record.
It is
nonstop wanking.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know,
it's fun wanking. It is the musical wank Olympics, but still good.
You know, it's more interesting than listening to Behold the Arctopus, for example.
Oh, Jesus.
And I bet all y'all listening don't even know what the fuck that is.
I'm curious. I like the name.
Just look up the album Skull Grid on YouTube. You'll get the point in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, Metropolis Part 2, that was the album that you recommended to me.
Yeah,
that's
Miracle
the only
Super.
One I have listened to.
Yeah, that one's so good.
It is a towering behemoth of a record.
And 6 Degrees are just towering behemoths of records, but I think that like those are albums that also just go by for me very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Awake as well. Like I think Awake is really good despite the fact that I hate its production.
Yeah, the production bug bites so many albums, it seems.
I mean, it sounds better than Images and Words with that crappy sampled snare. God, I hate that snare on Images and Words. It's so 80s butt rock. It is an 80s butt rock snare. Go listen to Pull Me Under. It's an 80s butt rock snare.
Y'all got any of those 80s butt rock snares? I want one.
I don't know. Yeah, I think there's like 10 of them free with Ableton these
days.
Yeah,
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, like it's like everybody wants that super gated reverbed snare these days.
And I'm like, and I think to myself, y'all, some things were better left in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It only works
like Reaganomics.
All right, so are we ready to dive in for a show and tell now that we've kind of shaken out the loosey-gooseys a bit, getting ourselves used to podcasting again.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I've been putting picks in my head, like, mm-hmm. and I'm like, there's no way I could guess it. So, yeah, I'm ready to just kind of be blown away.
Yeah, like, I may have mentioned, like, I've been trying to think back of, like, if I've linked anything from this album at all. I know that I have made offhand references to it, but yeah. I don't think that I've ever, like, maybe talked about it or like, you know, like, had any active conversations or link. I don't think I've linked anything ever in the music Discord, I don't think. But, so yeah, like, we are, again, the theme for this little exercise, this little season of episodes, if we want to call it that, was that an album that may surprise people that you're into. And we started off with you know, very nice singer-songwriter females. And I thought, well, I've definitely got a few here in my collection that I think may surprise people. That one that I'm into, and then two that I would subject that I even like it at all. But I don't know why I said that like there were two things, but it was really just the same thing said twice, which is what happens when you don't have a script, people. It's unscripted. It's natural. It's real life. Deal with it, buckface. Anyway, and I was just like, yeah, like, okay, I've got these two records here. I'm sitting looking at them both, and then I just like something just catches my eye on the vinyl shelf, and I'm just like, or I could just upend this pattern in a very weird and unpredictable way. that would just be so divorced from anything that we've listened to at this point on this little exercise that we are on, this little journey through our own personal histories. Like, well, so I could go with the flow and keep a nice thematic thing going for the season, or I could just upend it entirely. And I've chosen to upend it entirely.
Yeah, blow it up.
So, my pick for this show and tell is Abominations by Twisted.
Twisted.
So anybody here familiar with or has heard of Twisted at all?
Yeah, I know. I know who they are. Mm-hmm. I've never really listened to them. All right. I have, believe it or not, Polly, I have heard you mention that you have an affection for this particular project.
Okay. I wasn't sure. But we've known each other so long.
It doesn't come up often.
Yeah, it's not something that comes up often. But it's definitely one of those things where it's just like, I think that would be a weird thing to throw into this. Like, I know that I like this a lot, and it was interesting, and it's an interesting pick. What about you, PH? Any like Twisted knowledge? Or
I felt like I knew. I just did a Google search. I'm like, no,
not familiar.
They are Juggalo adjacent.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, this is like, was this around the ICP time? And are we trying to? Are we like? You know, were we a part of that, or were we like being on the bandwagon for that? I have no idea what.
Lucky for you, I will school you. I'll get you all nice and smartened up on. I'll get you smartened up on all that. So this album actually came to me not because I'm actually like into this band at all. I have a friend from high school. Actually, this goes way back. And he had a much older brother that lived in Detroit in the mid to late 90s when that whole horrorcore scene was popping off. So every few weeks, like, his brother would send him like dubbed tapes or CDs or stuff. So like, I had heard of people like ICP and even Eminem before they like went international. Because this friend of mine would always say, hey, like, check this out. And it's like, and even in terms of just like that horrorcore scene, which he was a part of, and from my understanding, I believe he even tried his hand at once. But he was a part of that scene, so like I had heard of people like Isham the Unholy, Cage, and again, even like early Eminem, like when he kind of started getting harder, you could argue is like that first major label Eminem album is very horrorcore adjacent. It has a lot of those similar themes. If you listen to the way that he weaves stories and that the way a lot of horrorcore artists kind of do that same thing, Eminem came up in like that same era. So Twisted are of that scene. They are from that Detroit area, and they consist of one Jamie Madrox and Monoxide Child. And before they were Twisted, they spent a large part of the 90s, I think from like 93 to like 97. And this was like when they were like coming out of their teen years, I believe. They were in a horror outfit local to Detroit named House of Crazies. And they released like, they had like four or five releases there. And I even remember very specifically one of the cassettes that friend of mine received. Like, was one, like, I just remember, I think it was called, like, Season of the Pumpkin or something like that. And it was, like, an orange cassette. It was very cool looking. I did not listen to it, however. And I didn't, like, make the connection to House of Crazies until years later. But the House of Crazies deal, like, survived until, like, 96 or 97. And then these two kind of recorded some new demos. And just on a whim, they sent them off to ICP. And ICP loved what they were doing and just immediately signed them. And right. and ICP is responsible for them having the name Twisted, T-W-I-Z-T-I-D. So they were christened and discovered by ICP. And at the time, like, ICP spent a lot of time trying to get these guys over. Like, they would, like, always insist that they be part of interviews, in photo shoots, like music videos, and like they didn't eventually get their break until 2000 with the album Freak Show, which kind of helped separate them from ICP a bit, because I guess their first album was largely produced by like ICP's producer Mike E. Clark, who is another famous figure within the Detroit scene. And like, you know, you kind of end up having something that might sound a bit close to what they're doing, and you kind of come off as the Mr. Me Too. So they had another album in 2000 called Freak Show, where they kind of developed their own sound with their own producer, and they'd done like and Abominations is their ninth album.
Yeah, looking at this discography, and I'm like, they are
going at it.
Yeah, they are busy boys. Every 2 years, it looks like.
Yeah, like they've stayed on top of it. And I had only heard their first couple of albums, Most Tasteless and Freak Show, but I didn't really keep up much after that. It just wasn't a scene that I was into. It was just like, these are okay, but I'm not. But Abominations came out it was sometime in 2012, I'm pretty sure. And I remember my friend calling me up. He's like, hey, listen, I know that you're like not into the horrorcore thing, but this is an album you need to hear, because I think that this album has a lot of sounds that you are into. And like, these guys are really like putting it down and releasing something that sounds really, really good. So grabbed the album myself, spun it, and was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. This is pretty damn good. And then years later, I was able to grab it on vinyl when they did like a special like re-release of it. But the story of this album is interesting, because it sounds like this was like a do or die kind of album for them. And it sounds like they were probably maybe considering calling it quits if it hadn't turned out well. And they both ended up taking a year off to like hone their skills before going into the studio to record this record. And the final bit of information leading up to this album's release would be that it would also be the last album released by Psychopathic, and it is likely, this would likely be like what led to Twisted falling out with ICP and starting their own label, due to how this album was rolled out. The album had some early pre-release buzz, but Psychopathic Records reportedly only pressed up 20,000 copies of it. And they sold out very quickly, and they charted. But the problem was, is that they were like, there was like this period of like 7 to 10 days where they were just left with nothing on the shelves for anybody to buy. So again, the album charted, but there's no telling that how high it could have charted. And yeah. It's kind of been hinted at by some people, by some like label people in the know at the time, that Violent J himself may have intentionally shorted them on units, due to the album kind of having some themes that could be seen as being frustrated with people still seeing them as mere protégés. And it sounds like some feelings were hurt over that. And that Violent J himself may have taken some liberties with their rollout and kind of fucked them over. And so, like, after this album, like, I think they literally left Psychopathic 3 months after this album was released or something. So that's kind of the story of Abomination's Twisted, kind of it's like the briefest, like again, like, they're not an artist that I am like, I'm there listening to a lot. I just kind of like have these couple of albums of theirs that I like, and this happened to be the one that kind of stuck out to me the most, that I thought would probably be you know, an interesting thing to throw at you guys, to throw at y'all. So, with all that in mind, what are some thoughts going into this? What are you expecting, Garden?
Well, I can safely say that I've never listened to a single song that this group has ever produced. So, I assume I should be anticipating hip hop, and yeah, that's about all I got.
Yeah, it's a very, very hip hop record. Yep, yeah, it's that.
So yeah, but other than that, I mean, I know the name. Mm-hmm. I was aware of the ICP connection. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I know nothing about this.
Got it. PH, what are you expecting going into Abominations?
I'm very similar to Garden. Mm-hmm. Where I the name was like, oh, I think I know that, and now I'm looking at stuff, I was like, no, I don't know this at all. But what am I expecting? I'm expecting schlock. Mm-hmm. And fun. I think it's going to be a fun kind of schlocky record, just because horrorcore is, yeah, usually that lane.
Yeah.
So that I do have some excitement, you know, like, because it's like, ooh, new thing, you know.
A rap album that's over 24 minutes long.
Oh, what?
Dying greed in this day and age, eh?
For everybody listening out there, the record actually ends at "It's Hard to Smile When You're." That's the last track on the album. There are other tracks that are part of like various special editions they did, but this album actually ends at track 16. "It's Hard to Smile When You're."
Huh. Yep. So. Yep. Just kind of track 5, Blood, All I Need. So I'm on board.
Yeah, you already kind of get an idea from some of the track list.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty fascinating story about the relationship with ICP there, and that, you know, maybe this album could have really been even more successful than it was initially, right?
So, yeah. It sounds like they just got screwed over, because I don't know, like, I mean, you'll just have to take what you, like, I'm not gonna put any seeds
about. We don't know the full details, right?
But we don't know the full details. Yeah. Like I said, it's just been speculated that some of the lyrical content was taken personally. You can decide for yourself on where, how you feel about that. I think it is a very impassioned record. So, I mean, that's all I will really say about it, because obviously you don't want to send anybody in with preconceived notions. So I'm not going to say much more about it. Myself. If anybody else has anything they might want to say or speculate or throw out there, by all means, now's the time to do it before we break and come back with thoughts the next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's your homework, everybody. Go listen to Twisted's 2012 album, Abominations. 16 tracks. It's about 50 minutes or something like that. It's got a few skits in there to kind of keep things fun. So that should it should go by real quick. It should go by smooth. So I guess with that, we're done for this specific instance of the show. But Garden, where can people find you on the interbuts?
Well, I'm always to be found in the Discord and, of course, on soundcloud.com/Western Desolation. I've actually got an Ableton Live window open in a different desktop instance. So as soon as we're done, I'm going to go back to that.
Yeah, let's go. More tunes soon, TM.
Hell yeah.
And PH.
You can find me on the Discord, where I recently flooded the music channel with Post Malone thoughts.
Yeah, I noticed. So. That's so many. I don't know that anybody's ever had that many thoughts about Post Malone.
I don't know what happened. I listened to that album and it just, the muse struck and I was like, I got thoughts. Here I go. I'm sorry. I need to start my own channel or something, or a blog spot to link to. But yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm on the Discord.
The only Post Malone thing that I've ever really been into was that Nirvana show that he did during COVID and raised a bunch of money.
Yeah, that was fun.
I recorded that and I do know, I remember like doing a little bit of touch up on that mix wise and sending it out
to
people.
I think I have that somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was a really fun, really, really good thing. And like, I admit, I was a Post Malone hater prior to that. And I was like, oh no, like this guy actually does revere this work. Like he is dead serious about being into Nirvana and really loving what they did. That blew me away. I don't like any of his actual work, but I like that Nirvana thing.
Yeah, I mean, as another Nirvana mega fan, I was intensely skeptical, and then the first song is Francis Farmer, and I'm like, oh no, okay,
you got it. Exactly, he goes right for a deep cut. Like he did not start with Teen Spirit; he literally jumped to Francis Farmer, and I was like, all right. And like the funny thing is this came like right off, like his thing came off like right off the hills of that Wes Scantlin, like About a Girl disaster. If anybody remembers that.
It is burning my brain.
Oh yeah, my god.
If I'm feeling down, I'll watch that.
Look, I'm always down to dunk on Puddle of Mud and bands like them because I think that post grunge hangover style of music is just the fucking worst thing that ever happened to mainstream
boring.
Rock.
It's so boring. All right. Well, that is going to do it for your pals here, and we like bad music only for show and tell, but we will be back sometime. I've never put a date on these things anymore because they never work, but you can rest assured that the next time you see us, we will be giving you thoughts on the album that we and you should have listened to. But until then, you got to do me a solid and listen to more Death Grips.